Hey, I'm Jared Hunter.
And I'm Sean Ahern.
And this is 43rd in Woodland, where non-experts bring you expert advice for your personal and professional development.
On today's episode, we sit down with Dr. Kerry Collins, who is the Chief Advancement and Strategic Planning Officer at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, where she is responsible for fundraising and alumni engagement, and many more things as well.
So many. Kerry, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good, good. I think I should call you Dr. Collins, right? That should be the...
You have special dispensation to just, both of you, to just call me Kerry.
I was going to say, just me or not Sean?
Yeah, but say, I can call you Dr. Collins too if you want.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. But thank you. I still like get a little jolt when somebody calls me Dr. Collins.
I'm sure. I can feel it. Well, cool. We're very excited to have you. I mean, we've known each other for quite some time. We met at University of the Sciences when I was a young guy working at Institutional Advancement. So it's been a while, like 7 or 8 years now.
I know you were in our video. That's like your claim to fame. We're like in the video of rising to new heights or taking over the corner office. And it was Jared. Yeah. I've been at PCOM since 2015.
Right.
So yeah, probably six or seven years.
That's a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, yeah, we're very, very excited to be sitting down with you. Sean and I were talking about this new brand that we're moving in the direction of personal and professional development a little bit more, and really to kick off our first actual episode. And we were like, who could be the perfect guest? And I was like, boom. Like there was no, Kerry Collins was the only name that came to mind immediately.
That's awesome. I am thrilled and honored and hope I set the gold standard for those who follow.
Oh, absolutely. We're very excited about it. But yeah, so to jump in, I want to take a second and just kind of step back first. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, your background, some of the things that you've been doing as of late. Give us the rundown first.
Sure. So I am a now retired lawyer. I practiced law for 5 years in private law practice. And then I shifted into higher education advancement. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time and worked for about 8 years at an institution out there and learned the ins and outs of fundraising. Really felt like I found my calling. Both my parents have taught at the collegiate level for many, many years. And so being in higher education was just the right place for me. I love the students. I love the energy. I love the problems. I love the solutions. And being able to go out and ask alums what their passion was and how they wanted to benefit the institution was really, really appealing to me. I got the job at this institution through my networking efforts. So that is a somewhat common theme. So I was there for about 8.5 years. I wanted to advance in my career. So I went to my boss and I said, if you can reconfigure some things and give me a promotion, I'll stay. And he said, I can't, but I'll help you find another job. So I actually saw him a couple of weeks ago. We're still very close friends. He taught me everything I know about fundraising. So I applied several places, but ended up at University of the Sciences in January of 2012. I was living in a studio apartment at Pine and 41st, which was right. I could walk to the building, Jared, remember where we
Right. You're right were? Up the street. Yep. 41st and Chester, was it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think. So I was living like a college student as a married mother of two. I was having Cocoa Puffs for dinner and pizza for breakfast.
Love it.
Was great. And then my kids moved out with me. We obviously left University City. And then my husband came out and we bought a house. And we have been here since 2013. So we've been very happy. I left U Sciences in 2015. And went to work at PCOM, again, largely due to some networking. And I have been incredibly happy and blessed to work at this institution. The president and CEO of the college is an alum. He is a former emergency room physician. So you have about 45 seconds to get across what you want to say before he's off to making the next decision. Wow. So he and I get along very, very well. I started out with alumni engagement and fundraising, and then took over strategic planning in 2019 and then was officially promoted to the adding that to my portfolio of work at the beginning of this year. But I also launched my own business last year.
Yes.
So in 2019, I finished my PhD In 2020, I launched the business. 2021, I got promoted at PCOM, and we survived the pandemic here in my household with two teenagers, a husband and a dog, and everyone is still alive. So I'm feeling very accomplished, quite frankly.
You should. You absolutely
100%.
Should. That's, there's a lot going on there. I mean, to say nothing of the fact that everybody's still alive in the house.
Yeah, especially the teenagers. The dog,
right.
The dog was fine. The teenagers, man. Whew.
So I'm already going off script with this because we have the prompts and the questions and everything, but you mentioned something that I'm already interested in. So you mentioned earlier in your career, you approached your boss to either find you a new position or you were going to split. I'm interested in, like, I don't know how to word the question necessarily, but
how do you do that? How do you advocate for yourself?
Yeah, like as a young professional, I'm thinking, like, how do you get the confidence to do that earlier in your career, or in your career in general? Like, what was that experience like in getting that confidence? Or like, yeah, how did you do that?
So two things. One is that I was pretty far into my career at that point, in all fairness. However, I also had an incredible relationship with my boss, who when I joined, we were colleagues. And then we had a new VP come in who shifted things and he got promoted. I got promoted too, but he got promoted. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up reporting to him, which was not at all difficult because we had established such a great relationship as colleagues. Mm. So my answer to this question is not what everyone should do, because basically I went in and was like, dude, if you rearrange some stuff and that's what I said.
Right.
So what I would advise instead, and it's funny because I just did a whole series of career journey mapping exercises with young professionals at an international nonprofit based in New York City. And I had a lot of people ask me this question. So believe it or not, I actually have a very solid answer, which is you go to your boss and you say, advocating for yourself, you say, how do I move to the next level? What are the milestones that I need to exceed? You'll find a lot of times that bosses have no idea how to answer these questions. Mm. And so if your boss knows, great, follow that conversation. If your boss just kind of looks at you and is like, yeah, that sounds great, sure, then I would step back and I would take, you know, maybe a week, and I would sit down and craft the list of responsibilities that you thought, this is what my current job description is, and this is what I would like to take on. Because inevitably, you're going to keep a lot of what you're doing. You may end up passing over some things, but you're going to add to your portfolio of work. Mm-hmm. So by saying, these are the responsibilities I'd like to take on, then work with your supervisor to set some goals, try to make them SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, reasonable, time-bound, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then in 6 months, maybe a year, you can go back with a body of work, a portfolio that says, last year we talked about me moving into X role. These were the milestones that we set. These were the performance goals that we talked about. And these are the responsibilities that I'd like to take on. Here's what I've done over the last 6, 8, 12 months to demonstrate that I'm ready for that role. Assuming that your boss was genuine in saying, sure, let's talk about this. And this is, you know, the next step. Then assuming you exceeded your milestones and your body of work is of the requisite level, then you should be well positioned for a promotion. And if your boss says, yeah, that's great, good job, gold star, it's what I refer to as an inflection point in your professional career. And you're the only one that's going to be able to decide whether, if no promotion is forthcoming, but you did everything they told you you had to do, then you have to decide, do I want to stay here because I love the mission, I love the people, I love the commute, I love the snacks, whatever, or this is all the further I'm going to go. And so I'm going to start looking. You may be in a position to have that conversation with your boss. You may not. Largely, I would suggest not that last piece of it. But I think if you present all the evidence and the answer is good job, pat on the back, then you have to stop and think about what's the next best move for me to continue to advance my career.
Man, I knew this was the right person to bring in for the first episode. I was like, I didn't have any doubts, but this is confirming a lot. And I just want folks to understand this is information that folks are getting like worldwide. Like this is, you bring people from across the world to share this information and you're getting it on this podcast. So I just want to put that out there that we're bringing the quality with these kind of, kind of guests, but I'll let Sean go. Cause I could go in a, I could go in a couple of different directions with that.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many things that you shared, Carrie, in the beginning, that there's so many threads you can pull and there's so many different knowledges and wisdom that you can provide. To Jared's point, I think we did bring the best guest for the first episode. And as Jared might've shared with you, our podcast slogan, I guess we have now is non-experts bring expert advice, or hashtag bringing expert advice. And this is it right here. I couldn't agree more. Well, keep pulling the thread of you being able to jump from U Sciences to PCOM or PCOM. And you did bring up a piece of, you had the confidence and were able to have that conversation with your boss, but also said that you were able to do that move because of networking. And so I guess if you can dive a little deeper here in terms of what steps you took with networking. And then I think we can also even take a step back here, because something that Jared and I talked about, and I think as you probably know, being a professional in the career, is that people say the word networking and they have a sour taste in their mouth. I'm like, I have to network. That means I have to go to happy hours, or I have to like people because I really don't like them, everything. So yeah. I know that's a lot to unpack, but I'll hand it off to you to see what your thoughts are on all that.
I'm an expert packer, so don't worry. I will take what you have unpacked and I will repack it.
Perfect.
So starting with the concept of networking, I abhor going to cocktail parties and chit-chatting. I refer to myself as an enthusiastic introvert because I recharge by being alone. So during the pandemic, this is very difficult, right? Whereas you may remember Jared, Niecy.
Yeah.
So she still works with me. She came with me.
Oh, does she?
Yep. We've worked together. And she is a true extrovert. You know, when we used to go to conferences and people would be like, oh, you're going to the happy hour. And Niecy would be like, no, she gave me her ticket. She's going to go knit in the hotel room.
Right.
Because listen, it evokes all these thoughts about high school. Like, am I cool enough to break into this group? How do I know what they're talking about? Am I going to be like, I'm tired? So I don't like networking. However, pre-pandemic, I was incredibly involved in a number of organizations, associations over the course of my career. In Pittsburgh, it was Women Lawyers. When I moved to Philly, it took me a little bit of time to find one, but I latched into one. It is a national women's C-suite and rising women's network. And it's been incredible. So I know how to get involved in these organizations, how to maximize the resources that are provided. And I've actually done far more networking virtually than I did pre-pandemic. So I have this network that I'm involved in now, there's 3,000 to 5,000 women who are members in chapters in New York, Boston, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, Miami, you know, big cities. Mm-hmm. And I do probably 3 to 5 networking calls a week. And the reason that it works for me is because I don't have to worry about that whole breaking into thing. We exchange messages and then what time is good for you? What day is good for you? We log on the Zoom. I know what we're going to talk about and we see how it goes. So no one's saying you have to like marry this person. It's just a 20-minute phone call. And if it works really well, and a lot of them do, then you keep going. And there's some women I've had conversations with. I'm like, yes, keep in touch. Never heard from them again. Totally fine. So networking is really, it's about making connection. And that's one of my superpowers is saying, so Jared's telling me at the beginning, talking about what he's doing. And in my mind, I'm going, okay, well, PCOM has a community wellness initiative. And I would like to talk to Jared offline about the opportunity for his work to partner with our community wellness initiative so that we can bring healthcare and health screenings to the communities that he's working in. And so it's connecting dots, it's connecting people that I thrive in, that I love doing. And that to me is even more powerful networking than standing around at a cocktail party. So I think for your listeners, broadening their view and their opinion of what networking is really important, because it's not just standing at cocktail parties. It's using LinkedIn appropriately. It's joining these organizations and stepping up to the plate to volunteer to say, hey, I'll try that. It is doing things that get you in a position to connect people.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I mean, I've gotten very deep into community organizing work over the last 2 years. A lot of that does look like not necessarily making connections or relationships for my benefit, but to build up that like in my mind, it's like a Rolodex almost. Like, you know, you put all these contacts together in your head. And the more that you meet other contacts, the more it's like you said, like, oh, you should talk to this person about this program. I've bumped into people and they're like, yeah, I'm really into theater, or I'm a playwright and I love to teach kids about acting. Oh, did you know that there's an organization right down the street that does youth development programs, and they're always looking for professionals to bring in to create new programs? That kind of spins off into its own thing, but that's kind of the actual work, right? Like, it's not networking for the sake of having all of these names and people under your belt, but to make these connections.
You're absolutely right, Jared, is that it is about connecting people, ideas, communities, organizations, and letting them then flourish. You don't have to remain in the mix of it all the time. You just have to say, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. And I think that's incredibly powerful. So networking means a lot of different things to different people. And it doesn't have to just be the cocktail party. And Sean, to answer your first question was, so when I was working as a lawyer and I was looking to leave, I was very involved with this group of women lawyers. And I was at cocktail parties. I was young, much younger then. And I arranged a speed networking event between three professional organizations. And at the time, the Pittsburgh Penguins stunk. So they gave us like a ton of tickets and free food and all this stuff. And we had people scheduled in speed networking. And so by being involved in all of those things, and I had met this woman, wasn't really sure kind of what she was doing, but she turned out she was a recruiter. And her boss was best friends with the then VP at the institution where I ended up. And when they talked about a role, this woman said, oh, you have to talk to Carrie. So it was because I had put myself out there and I had a good reputation. I followed through. I did what I said I was going to do. I had presented well, that kind of thing. So networking has led to a lot of my professional development and successes as well.
Yeah, honestly, I'm so glad you even unpacked that last part, because a lot of people say, oh, networking, that means I just need to talk to someone and that's it. But I think that just opens up the door. Like you said, you had to dress the part. You had to be the part. You did well presenting. And then even I think something that Jared was sharing is having genuine conversations with individuals. And I think that's what probably got you to that next step. I mean, same thing with Jared, and something that I try to pride myself, even being in corporate America, is making those genuine connections with individuals. And I think even to go past that, I know something that you talked about in the beginning was finding your calling and being in, and I'll say your full title again, Chief Advancement and Strategic Planning Officer at PCOM. It's incredible. I mean, as I was doing some research, they talk about the amount of fundraising even PCOM did. I think this year you also had the highest amount of fundraising money for second year in a row. But I think even with that, not even just the fundraising, I think something that goes into it is the networking that you're able to do to continue that success. And so how vital is it with your job and your day-to-day to continue networking? And how do you still find ways to continue networking with individuals in your career?
So, and I think it's twofold. I think, you know, my job as an advancement professional is to bring alumni back and closer to the institution. Mm-hmm. So that requires a lot of connections, a lot of conversations, and a lot of creativity, especially during COVID. We're not having events in person. And we did try musical bingo by Zoom, where we had like, the DJ played Staying Alive and Don't Go Breaking My Heart and Doctor Doctor. I think we had like 6 people show up. So it's a challenge right now, mm-hmm. but connection, conversation, remembering those key points about people when you meet them, all of that is really important in the work that I do. And then in terms of just networking more broadly, like that example where I said, well, Jared's doing this. And so I am always looking for opportunities for PCOM to be positioned. So again, this women's network that I'm in, I ended up having a call with a woman who's the president of a New York office of an international PR and ad agency in healthcare. And I was like, oh, well, would you like to post jobs on our alumni job board? And she was like, yeah. So we now have, you know, multiple, one international, a few national companies, in addition to our alums who post for their own firms. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, and I remember her saying, I didn't think this conversation was going to go like this, because I'm always trying to connect. The other key thing is to always be asking, how can I help you? So I do a lot of these calls. Great. Nice to meet you. Tell me what you do. Okay. So Sean, how can I help you? Do you need introductions? Do you need recommendations? Are you looking to leave? Do you want to, you know, do you need resources? And I'm always surprised at the number of people who go, oh, I wasn't expecting that question. Mm-hmm. And it's a hallmark of my conversations. I'm always trying to solve problems, right? So I'm always saying, okay, well, so do this, talk to this person, whatever. But it's really flattering for a lot of people when you say, how can I help you? You may not have any idea if you can help, mm-hmm. but asking the question gets them to go. I mean, I've had a lot of people go, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of people say, oh, well, do you know anyone in this? And I'd say, why, yes, I do. Or mm-hmm. no, here's where I would go to look for that connection. So it's exhausting sometimes, but just keeping those conversations going and offering up to help is a really powerful tool.
So there's something toward the very end that you mentioned where you, it's a lot. Like, I work with people a lot. I know how exhausting it can be sometimes, especially when you're playing mental gymnastics. It feels like 24/7 to make connections between people, to make sure that those connections are sustainable, to think about new opportunities. It's a lot of juggling. You are obviously a very busy person as well, and the mental gymnastics of that can be very exhausting. What does that balance look like for you between personal and professional? You know, like, how do you balance that out as someone as busy as yourself and as someone who has to be in a position to almost never, in a sense, turn off? At least that's the way that I feel a lot of the time. And being in that space is like the kind of connector between a lot of different groups and communities and individuals. What are some of the things that you do to turn off to make sure that you can keep your balance, the momentum that you need to run a longer marathon rather than just a sprint?
I'm currently binge watching a number of television shows.
Okay, good. Then I'm doing it right. That's all I needed to hear. I'm doing it right.
I have not watched this much television probably ever in my life. I used to be a voracious reader. So I'd read like a 300-page novel every 2 days. And I just, when COVID hit, I don't know. I just kind of was like, man, no. So now I am the consummate binge watcher, just like everybody else in the country.
What are we watching right now? Anything good?
Yes. Yeah, so we are watching Getting Ready for Tomorrow is the 6th and final season of Lucifer.
Oh.
It's coming out on Netflix. Yeah. I am very, very into that show. I'm also watching Physical on Apple TV. Very 80s themed, hilarious, because I was a child of the 80s. I am watching Dominion, which is a sci-fi show that is now on Amazon Prime. And I am slowly making my way through Outlander. I am, talk about networking. There is a show on Netflix called Versailles. And it is about Louis XIV.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 3 seasons long. And the actor who plays Philippe, the king's brother, kind of thought he was cute. So I started following him on social media. This is a few years ago. And he teamed up with a colleague from drama school who wrote a movie, and they crowdfunded. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm a fundraiser. People ask, I'm like, sure, I can have a little money. And then they were like, you know, we're this close. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll get a little money. Lo and behold, I got invited to London for the third day of filming.
What?
Wow.
And I am a featured extra in the movie. And it happened to be my birthday. So I have like, they brought a cake, they sang, I have pictures, whatever. So it was great.
Goodness.
I took the actor from Versailles, who ended up being the director, I took him a Rocky t-shirt because I thought, well, that's a good Philly.
Nice.
Philly, yep, right? Sure. And it turns out that the camera they were filming this short film on was the same type of camera that they had used in Rocky. So I was like, oh, look at that.
Wow.
So fast forward a couple of years, there's some problems with the film. Eventually it gets released into the film festival world. It wins all kinds of awards. There's a online premiere and I ended up Skyping. That was part of my perks. I Skyped with this director.
Wow.
So I was following him on Instagram and I said, hey, would you mind? I'm in this women's group. Would you mind if I talk to somebody about getting the film on like Showtime? So lo and behold, the film is now licensed and showing exclusively on Showtime. So I have an exec producer credit on that one. I have an exec producer credit on his second short film. I'm an exec producer on the original writer of the first short film for his short film. So I also decompress by financing British short films, apparently.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And you mentioned you're like, and when you have conversations with people and you're like, oh, I didn't expect it to go that way. I was not expecting you to end that part of the conversation by
not
saying
at all.
You're an executive producer for a short film in London.
So if you have Showtime, you can Google Lola. It is 15 minutes and I'm behind the main actress's shoulder in like minute 13 or something. So
wow. That's incredible.
Yes.
Not again. Yeah, I was not expecting that.
I'm a Peloton aficionado. I'm not on the bike every day, but I'm on that platform every day. Mm-hmm. I've been on every day since I got the bike in December of 2019. So I'm like on a 90-week streak or something. So it doesn't matter when I do something on it. It doesn't matter what I do. And it doesn't matter how long I do. So this morning I did a 20-minute bike ride. Tomorrow night I may do a 5-minute meditation at 11:35 at night. It doesn't matter. It's just setting aside some time and allowing for some flexibility, you know, because if you said, oh, I'm going to work out every day at 6 a.m., what are the chances that you're going to want to work out every day at 6 a.m.?
Right.
Yeah. If you say, I'm going to set aside time for me every day, just a little bit of time that can vary from day to day, then you're far more likely to really and truly set aside and take that time for yourself.
Wow. All right. That's great advice.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, I think this, the adaptability, the flexibility that you have is truly worth it. And I kind of get stuck on that just routine too of like, oh, I didn't wake up at 6 a.m. I can't go to the gym today. And I'm like, well, I can just go to like today. I'm going to go to the gym right after we record this. And I was supposed to go today at 6, but just finding that flexibility. Thinking again, just outside looking in and listening to all our listeners, you're like, wow. I mean, you are not just well in your craft professionally, I mean, how successful you are, but also how successful you are personally, and also are able to watch these movies, and also able to raise two kids and still keep up a household. There has to be some secret sauce here. I know you talked about flexibility and adaptability, but some secret sauce of how do you still manage all of that? And then also still, again, prioritize your personal development with, again, being part of these woman organizations that you're ahead of.
It's actually the title of my book, How to Do Most of It, Secrets of a Highly Organized Woman. My business is called How, because I am the highly organized woman. So I don't cook, I don't clean. I recognize that I'm in an incredibly blessed and privileged position to be able to work and earn enough money that we have the lawn guys do the outside. We have the cleaning ladies do the inside. We pay somebody to do our taxes. My husband does the cooking. I do the laundry and the children do all the rest. So I get it. I get it. Not everybody is in that position. But if you are in that position, then outsourcing is a huge way to free up time for yourself. And that was one of the things my husband and I came to early on in our marriage was, look, I don't want to spend half the day cleaning bathrooms. And we were like, yeah, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. So outsourcing, and then just realizing that you can't do it all. And there's no point in wasting any moment of any amount of time thinking that you should, because you can't. You know, I don't garden. I don't do math. I don't listen to podcasts.
Right.
I don't ski. I don't, you know, I don't bake. I mean, I eat, but I don't cook. You can do a lot and do it really well, but instead of trying to devote yourself to doing it all, my one colleague calls it, what is your anti-bucket list? Right? What are things that you are not going to concern yourself with?
Hmm.
Skiing, snowboarding, mm-hmm. hiking, camping. Are you seeing a theme here? Right?
Yes. Outdoors is usually the...
Yeah, right. So yeah. I go begrudgingly when it's my husband's turn to plan vacations. Finding a balance is difficult. I'm also lucky, and we said this numerous times during quarantine, is that our children are now 15 and 13. It would have been much, much different had the kids been 5 and 3.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Right.
Everybody stayed in their own space. We all came down. It was time to eat. And then we were like, oh, too much togetherness. We went away. So that has evolved over time. I couldn't have gone back to school, gotten my doctorate. I couldn't have launched my business when my children were younger, just because it would have been too much. Now it's trying to just carve out time when you can find it in little pockets. When my kids were a couple years younger, they would come up and they'd say, I'd like to make an appointment, please. And they would make an appointment for me when I would get at like 8 o'clock. I'd be like, okay. And I'd put down all the devices and all the distractions. Right. And I would be like, you have an appointment, which probably would horrify a lot of people, but they kind of thought it was, I don't know. They kind of thought it was cute. And it meant that we had dedicated time for each other. Mm. And that was really important. But I mean, look, they're going to need therapy at some point. So I'm doing the best I can.
Right. Well, aren't we all? I want to take a second to highlight, you mentioned your business. So talk to us about your business you started during the pandemic. Like, what was that whole process like, and where has it gone since then?
Yeah. So I formed the company in January of 2020, and I spent the early part of the pandemic writing the book, building a website, getting all of my systems and legal stuff, the trademarks filed, getting the logo, mm-hmm. figuring out the branding and positioning, and then pricing, research, all of that. And then I launched on July 1 of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I got my first client on July 1 of 2020, which was really exciting. And then I realized that the model that I had set was fine, but not scalable. I was going to help each and every individual woman become a highly organized woman. Well, that's great, but there's only one of me and there's a lot of women out there. Okay. So I spent December of 2020 overhauling the website, not rebranding so much as repositioning. So I went from what's known as a B2C to a B2B model. And beginning in January, it has been going like gangbusters. My clients include Toyota, Salesforce, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and I will admit the coolest client I've ever had is NASA. Wow. And so NASA managed to put a rover on Mars, but they asked me to help them manage their time. I did get a really cool Mars mission t-shirt out of it. I thought it was my civic duty, so I took a really hefty cut on my fee, but I was like, I wouldn't turn down a t-shirt. So yeah. I got a whole packet of, like, I have a patch and a mug. And,
I thought you were going to say, like, you got a free trip to Mars or something next.
No,
I was more waiting for you to say that you had your own spacesuit. I could feel like you just have the hat, put it on, and just walk around.
Not quite, but I do have a decal and I am allowed to put it on my website. The only thing I had to really work on is during a lot of my sessions, I say, this isn't rocket science. My kids were like, you can't say that at NASA.
Right.
Yeah.
So I managed to say, this isn't brain surgery.
There you go.
But yeah, so the business is great. I have a lot of proposals out right now, but it's going very well. And I was teaching in there for a while. I was teaching in the doctoral program where I got my degree.
Okay.
And that just, it was one too many things. So I stepped back from that and I'm organized. So I keep all my business materials in a system. And I use Square for my invoices, QuickBooks for finances. I have a CRM for all my contacts and leads and pipelines, Hootsuite for social media, Zoom for sessions. So I have all these tools that I use, but I'm just really organized. So yeah, so I've got some new offerings that I'm working on and new opportunities, but But yeah, it's pretty exciting, and I'm really, really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I would want you to go into more detail of how you do all this, but you know, I'm going to leave the listeners on a cliffhanger and say to purchase your book, because I feel like you probably wrote a whole book for that reason of the question that I'm going to ask you.
You wrote the book on it.
Yeah.
It's actually, you can download it for free on my website. If you go to tools, and then I think it's the second or third, you can click on the book. And it is, I will put out for your listeners, it is largely female centric, although there is a line in the intro that says, listen, I won't lie to you. If a man picks this up in the bathroom, he might learn a thing or two.
There you go.
I might be that guy.
Yeah. You might be that guy. There's some funny pictures there of me from throughout my life and my kids. And so it's like a bunch of blog posts. It's a very quick, it's 100 pages, easy read, but it was fun to do.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, we will definitely make sure we add that link to the Instagram post and to everything else that we advertise when it comes to this episode. Go check out that book.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. And maybe, just maybe one of our future podcasts, we can have a little listening of the book, maybe a little talk book club session here going on. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Sure. I have 5 key habits or strategies for what I say for productivity, for finding time. Mm-hmm. So instead of spending time on something, I can help people learn to think more strategically about productivity. And 70% of people after taking my session have recaptured 20 minutes in their day every day, because you're just working smarter and not harder. And so sure, yes, I'd love to.
Yeah,
that would be incredible. Well, Kerry, I feel like we can keep you on for hours. I think we have so many more questions. And again, maybe we can have a part 2 to this conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think to end off with our listeners, one, again, huge question that you can unpack and repack, because how great you are at that. I mean, we talked about personal, professional development, networking, prioritization, time management. Out of all of, I mean, even COVID, and how work through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, through all of that, I guess, what is some advice you would give to young professionals today on any of those topics that you discussed?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that it is important to set career destination goals, but for 3 years, every 3 years, right? Instead of saying, when I grow up, I want to be X, where do I want to be in the next 3 years? Maybe 5, but that's a really manageable time frame. And it is really an opportunity to say, okay, this is where I am right now. In 3 years, I want to be here. What do I need to do between now and then to make sure that that happens? Mm-hmm. So you want to have a plan, but you don't want to forego flexibility. So if something comes up, you want to be able to say, oh, well, that's not exactly in line, but I think I might really love it. And as long as it doesn't take me too far off my path, or maybe it totally takes me off the path into a different one. So I would say have a goal, set yourself some structure to get there, but be open to unexpected opportunities that arise.
Great advice. Really great. Oh, yeah. Love it. Well, Kerry, we cannot thank you enough for all of the wonderful advice, insight, the knowledge, the laughs. I'm very excited about this episode. I knew it was going to be a good one, but I'm blown away.
You guys are so sweet. You guys are so sweet, making an old lady feel loved.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. If you didn't get anything out of this podcast, then you probably won't get anything out of any podcast that we do in the future. So you might as well just stop listening to us now. This was amazing.
You are quite welcome. It was my pleasure and an honor to be your first newly positioned guest. So I'm happy to come back anytime.
Awesome.